Hello, class, and welcome to the 26th episode of A Plus Anime. I am your teacher, because poor Ian is out sick. And today, I have a guest, because we start the tournament arc, where we're going to be bringing, for the next 10 episodes, we're going to be bringing in guests. Either they're going to be bringing in anime they've wanted to watch, and they wanted to talk, like, recently watched and want to talk about, or an anime that they've loved through their whole life, and they're bringing in. Today, we have Blessing Adioye.
Yo,
Did I put enough syllables in the Adioye?
That was actually perfect. You're the first white person who's like pronounced it pretty much correctly.
Yes. How are you, Bless?
Dude, I'm doing good. I'm chill. Yeah. I'm loving life. I just watched the first episode of Yu Yu Hakusho again. And so now I'm like re-inspired and re-emotional. And so everything's great.
God, yeah. So just before we get into too much, how do people know you? From the internet?
Oh, yeah. People know me from OKBeast.com. If you're listening to A-plus Anime, that means you should be somewhat familiar, hopefully, with OKBeast. A-plus Anime is part of OKBeast. And OKBeast is essentially not a network. It's a website that has a lot of different things. I guess it is kind of a network. I was going to say it's like a network of different podcasts.
Because you don't just do podcasts and you don't just do website. You do multiple different versions of media, like YouTube and stuff. So it is a network.
Yeah, like I separate it into three different categories. There's video, written, and podcast. And we have like multiple podcasts, such as A-plus Anime or the OKBeast podcast or Pixelpulse Radio or New Dock City Radio. In a new hip hop podcast coming up soon.
I was about to say, I'm so excited for this. Because I've already seen a whole bunch of people tweeting at you being like, I want in on this.
Yeah, I'm so hyped for it. It's one of the most exciting projects I have coming up so far. And then we have video stuff, a lot of video essays on the YouTube channel.
New one on the day of recording, a new anime.
Yes.
One went up, so that's so good. If you guys usually are only listening to this for anime reasons and not really into much of the video game, Ian, the usual host, has done a video essay about why Full Metal Alchemist is a good jumping in spot for anime and just why it's a great anime in general. So go check that out on the OK Beast YouTube page. Or YouTube, is it pay? What'd you say?
YouTube channel,
YouTube,
I guess.
Site?
Yeah. YouTube.com/OKBeast.
All right. So on this show, we take the top rated anime and test them to see if they get an A plus or an F and try and learn a little in the process. On today's podcast, alluded by Sir Blessing here, we're going to be watching the old school classic Yu Yu Hakusho. I'm going to say it's one of the tier anime up with like Dragon Ball Z that got a lot of people into anime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's nearly a lot of people's first anime they watched as a Western audience. There's the hipsters out there that will say like, I watched this and I watched that. But a lot of people are lying if they're not saying that Yu Yu Hakusho or Dragon Ball Z was the ones that got them into.
Did you guys have Toonami in Australia?
No.
Really?
So,
wow.
We had a government broadcasting channel that showed a lot of anime. That's where I watched things like Ninja Scroll and the Samurai one. Samurai X it was called here, but it was, I can't remember its actual name. And then Dragon Ball Z, when we had morning cartoons before school and stuff like that, that's where I started to get like the Pokemons and stuff. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't until I was about in my teens that I watched Yu Yu Hakusho, actually.
Interesting.
Because we didn't get it here whatsoever.
Wow, that like blows my mind, because Toonami essentially was the thing. Do you know what Toonami is?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was like a bracket of like anime.
Yes, exactly. And that came to Cartoon Network. And that was kind of the thing that ushered in. Like, I feel like anime came in waves in the U.S. Like, there was...
Let me rephrase that. We did get Toonami later on once we got our like broadcasting like networks, which is called Foxtel, where we got Cartoon Network, like all the channels you get in cable. Mm-hmm. We started getting finally down here, and that's obviously when we got it, because we got Cartoon Network as well.
Gotcha. And yeah, like I think anime when it first came, it came with Astro Boy and Speed Racer, and that was kind of like the first kind of like wave of anime kind of hitting America. And then I think Toonami was probably like either the second or third wave of like, we're bringing over Dragon Ball Z and Yu Yu Hakusho and
that's actually a good point. Things like Astro Boy and Speed Racer are like probably for the generation maybe just above us, or maybe even a couple of years older than us. That's what they got. But people around like our age, between, you know, like 20 to 30, it was the Dragon Ball Zs and the Yu Yu Hakusho's
that
like got us
and like
into
the Cowboy Bebop, I think was another one of them.
God, Cowboy Bebop, yeah.
Yeah, and so
that,
like
that changed my life when I saw that.
And so, yeah, Yu Yu Hakusho was part of kind of that big wave of the anime hitting Toonami. And that was kind of the big wave that was hitting the U.S. at the time that, like, a lot of people our age probably, like, identify with, like, this is what we know as, like, classic anime. And this is what we kind of identify with, like, the original movement, at least for our generation of anime.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Well, I've already kind of alluded to it. These are our tournament arcs. So you definitely were like Yu Yu Hakusho when you were bringing it to me. Like, was there any other anime to you that was like, I would like to talk about this? Anything recently?
I was thinking about Neo Yokio, but I didn't want to subject you to that kind of torture.
God.
And well, I don't even know if you consider it anime either. Anyway.
No, me and Ian don't, because it's anime inspired.
Mm-hmm.
But it's made for a Western audience, which I consider as a cartoon.
Interesting.
Anything made for an Eastern audience is an anime to me.
Gotcha.
Like anything made for Japanese audience is an anime. Because so, I'm pretty sure Ian said it like before. Like anime is just cartoon in Japanese. Like so anything. So even a Western cartoon is still an anime to them because it's just cartoon.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. That's my line in the ground of like, if it's made for a Western audience, it's a cartoon. If it's made for an Eastern audience, it's anime. Even if it comes here and it's more popular in a Western audience, it still was made originally for an Eastern audience. Yeah. Like it's to appease an Eastern audience.
Yeah, so it's more about origin rather than like style.
Yeah, because there's always that argument of like, oh well, an Asian studio made the anime or made the cartoon, like Avatar. There's a lot of episodes about Avatar that are outsourced to Korean studios, Japanese studios, but Avatar The Last Airbender is a cartoon. Mm-hmm. No matter how it's inspired by, because everything in that is written for a Western audience to enjoy.
Mm-hmm. Like, interesting.
Our Western audience has kind of changed a bit more now because of how much anime is in our pop culture, but it's still not written for us. Like there's still like, I'll go into a little bit of spoilers for Yu Yu Hakusho, the bit where he like picks up her dress and looks at her underwear.
Yeah.
that's never going to be for a Western audience. It's like, it's still a little weird in an Eastern audience, but it's like, it's a joke. It's a thing in an Eastern audience, but it to Western audience is still just like, I get it because I've been watching anime for years, but it's still weird as hell.
Yeah, like I remember watching, I was a kid when I was watching, man, I can't remember the name of the show and I'm not going to get it. But to think of a different example, Dragon Ball, the original Dragon Ball series, I used to watch that, a lot. I watched that more than I watched Dragon Ball Z. I used to love Dragon Ball.
When Bulma like picks up her pants and she's like, "Do you want to touch my butt?" And it's like,
yeah. And you can see Goku's balls, and like he's like a kid.
Yes.
And like now I'll think about it, I'm like, wow, that's like really weird. Like that would never happen
because,
on like Timmy Turner or something.
Because Western culture has very like taboo against sexualization and nudity and stuff like that. While to an Eastern audience, that's not that bad. But to a Western audience, violence is desensitized and stuff like that. But then when you go to like a lot of anime in Japan, when they get too graphic, it starts putting like a black sheen over the screen. Nearly like somebody's like blacked out the part of the screen where violence happens and stuff like that. But in a Western cartoon, everyone's like, ew. Whatever, his head got chopped off, who cares? But that's what I mean. That's where I kind of draw the line. It's not who makes it, it's who do they make it for.
Interesting.
Gotcha. Alright, so, Bless, how's your week been?
It's been good.
What
have
you been up to? Anything exciting?
Earlier this week, we got back from Extra Life, which is pretty fun.
How was the whole Extra Life experience?
Dude, it was way more successful than I even thought it would be. Like, it's funny because we had a lot less, in my opinion, like a lot less promotion going in. And that actually made me like really nervous
than the first year?
Yeah, than the first year. Because the first year we were going with so much promotion to the point that like before we even started the stream, we had like 50 viewers or whatever, like just waiting for us. And this time, I feel like there was, like, less people concurrent, but we got, like, way more donations and way more people passionate about it. The people that were there were very into it, and the people that were there were very, like, supportive of it. And, like, my goal that I set for OK Beast was $500, and that was even on the donation page. And we, like, tripled that, almost quadrupled that. And we passed our goal last year, which is $1,500, which was that because... we won a contest where we made a lot of profits off of shirt for the donations. And so, like, $1,200 of the dollars last year was just from that shirt. And then we probably made, like, $400 in donations. This year, purely donations, we made over $1,700, which blows my mind that people watch us and support us that much that they're willing to donate to Extra Life through us. Like, that's super cool.
So for anyone who's, like, new to this Extra Life, like, what's the elevator pitch for, like, what Extra Life is and what was done and stuff like that?
So Extra Life is essentially is this charity thing where you play video games for 24 hours or you do whatever, like, nerd-wise and play tabletop games, whatever, for 24 hours. And all the money goes towards the Children's Miracle Network of Hospitals. So it's essentially a way to get nerds, gamers, whatever, together in order to raise money for this one common cause. And every year it makes millions of dollars for the Children's Miracle Network of Hospitals. So, yeah.
Excellent. All right. So usually this is where me and Ian talk about, like, what anime we've been watching. But you sort of alluded it to earlier, like, what kind of anime you watch. But, like, so what is your history of anime? Like, do you watch it now? Do you, like... kind of weaned off these days and only watched it when you were younger? Like, what got you into it?
I'm gonna make so many people mad when I explain when I explain this, but, like, nowadays I don't watch as much anime. If I see one that looks really interesting to me, I'll check it out possibly. But when I was a kid, I used to love the anime that, like, we don't really consider, like, hardcore anime. Like, I loved Yu-Gi-Oh, I loved Pokemon. But then, like, I also love stuff like Dragon Ball and, like, Yu Yu Hakusho.
Yu-Gi-Oh! And Pokemon still is, like, hardcore for their audience, but it's just not seen as very, like, deep.
Yeah.
Is the real way of, like,
that's
describing
true.
It. It was more to sell a product. Like, Yu-Gi-Oh! And Pokemon was to sell a product. It still had its deep moments, like, Ash with his goddamn Butterfree when he lets it go. Still don't understand why. Whatever.
He's gotta let it free. Let it roam with his people.
And then Yu-Gi-Oh was, like, deep with its, like, connection with its characters, but not on the standards of a lot of modern, especially modern anime now, like, where they get very deep and stuff like that. So but still, that's the whole point of, like, this show. Like, it doesn't matter if it's, like, a casual anime or any, all anime is anime, so it doesn't matter.
Yeah, and so, like, that was my relationship with anime when I was young. And then, like, moving on to, like, modern anime, I think the maybe the only one that I really watched as being an adult was probably Death Note. And then, like, I can't think of any other one that I really, like, dove deep into. Like, I watched Yu Yu Hakusho as an adult because, like, when I was a kid, I only watched, like, the first two seasons, basically up to the tournament arc, because that was, for some reason, that was all they were playing on TV. They never, like, really went further. As an adult, I went back and watched the whole thing. And, like, there's that, there's, Neo Yokio, even though that's not really anime. And I feel like there's other stuff that I just can't think of. So the reason why I don't watch as much anime nowadays, even though I absolutely love anime, I love what anime does, is one reason that's gonna make everybody mad. The fact that, like, everything now does not have dubs. Like, no animes aren't dubbed nowadays, usually, a lot of times.
That's fair enough. That's what me and Ian, like, have discussed multiple times. Like, when you watch a sub anime, that's all you can do. In a world where a lot of people like to do multiple things, like have something on the TV, have their laptop on, looking at their phone. When you're watching subs, you have to, unless you know Japanese, you literally, all you can do is watch the sub. And me, a super, super sub watcher, that's all I like to do because I can't wait for dubs to come out. It still kills me sometimes, and sometimes that's why I don't watch an anime during a week, because I'm like, I haven't got the time to just dedicate 100% of my attention to the TV just to watch this anime, because, like, I need to edit something, or I need to talk to somebody, or something like that. So
exactly.
It's a fair call these days, like, to not. And also, some people just like to listen to English. They don't want to have to read subtitles,
yeah,
even if they have the time.
Yeah, and that's the thing for me, where like half the TV I watch nowadays, I'm not watching, I'm listening to. Like I listen to episode, like I watched this last week, I realized that on the CW app, I can watch the last 5 episodes of all the CW shows. And so I've just been running through Arrow, Flash, Riverdale, like all that stuff. And like, I barely watch those shows. I listen to those shows because I already know how they look. I'm like, well, all these shows are the same thing over and over again. So I just listen to them. Same thing with Boy Meets World. I'm watching a lot of Boy Meets World and I'm just listening to it. And so like that for me, like for me to devote all my attention to a show, is like you said, a really hard ask, because I'm just like, I'm doing other things. I'm on my laptop editing, or I'm talking to people, or like and it's not that I'm not paying attention to the TV. I'm paying attention, but it's just like my eyes are elsewhere. And so, that's the reason why I haven't been into much anime. Even though I tried to, and in fact, I think I'm going to watch Attack on Titan, because I know there's a dub of Attack on Titan.
Yeah. That is the thing. I think a lot of dub studios are realizing that as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like there's the the re-renaissance of anime again at the moment. But then they're also realizing that a lot of people are dropping off for the exact same reasoning you're saying, and a lot of shows are nearly becoming like a week after dubs. Things like My Hero Academia was a week after, so the normal sub would come out, and then a week after the dub would come out.
Yeah,
so,
and I watched an episode of that because of that.
Yeah, and I think that's a good market where a lot of dub studios are realizing like, oh, if we do this real, real quick, we'll be at like the forefront, and we'll actually get all these people that don't want to sit around and wait for a dub and stuff like that. So, are you a superhero kind of guy? You said Arrow and Flash.
I love superheroes, and I plan to get back to My Hero Academia. I don't know why. I think I just watched the first half of the episode. I think I had something to do and I just never went back to it.
Yeah.
But it's my kind of show, I think. Like, I think if I watched it, I'll probably love it.
So, side tangent for a second. Mm-hmm. Are you going to go watch Justice League?
Yes. I got to figure out when, because I was going to watch it tomorrow morning, but I think I might be packing because I'm moving. And so I got to figure it out. But I'm going to watch Justice League.
I watched it last night.
Yeah?
It is my Transformers. Transformers 1. Like, I tweeted about it, and I always criticize people for Transformers 1. I was like, it's a terrible movie. I don't understand why you can enjoy that. But, man, like, looking at Justice League critically, I'm like, oh, there's some terrible bits. There's one, like, I don't want to shatter the glass on something, because it was shattered for me, and I could not unsee it.
Mm-hmm.
There's something with an actor. Don't look into it if you see somebody trying to talk about it. But once I heard about it, I was just like, I couldn't unsee it.
Is it the mustache?
And that ruined...
Yes. somebody posted a picture on the
Twitter.
You
can't unsee it once you know about it.
Yeah, like somebody posted a picture where like it's obvious that the person who posted the picture took Photoshop and just like colored in the mustache with whatever paint tool.
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
Yeah, it's
but,
so bad.
Yeah.
But man, I had so much fun. Like I had moments like from where Avenger 1's where like things happen and I was just like, I'm so happy right now. This is
I'm scared.
A lot of times that happen, and then Flash is just so good in it. I love Flash.
Scared because like I hated Batman v Superman. Like I did not like it.
I enjoyed Batman v Superman, but it's a bad movie.
Yeah.
This is not a bad movie. This
Interesting.
This is like a good to above average movie.
Mm-hmm. The thing about me is that like,
but it's so much fun.
I also liked Suicide Squad, which is very like. I know you're wondering, like, how can you hate Batman v Superman but like Suicide Squad? And I think the thing about Suicide Squad is that, like, going into Suicide Squad, I did not care, like, at all. Like, it was one of those movies where, like, the stakes don't really matter as much as Suicide Squad, because all of these characters are pretty much inconsequential. Whereas Batman v Superman, you're like, well, these are the staples of this franchise and this universe. Like, if this doesn't work, then that kind of ruins the whole thing. Suicide Squad had Will Smith and Margot Robbie, and I was like, yeah, this is dumb. Like, what's happening is dumb, but I still enjoy it. Like, I had fun. So maybe if I go into Justice League with that kind of mindset of, like, I know this universe is kind of screwed at this point, but you know what? I'm just going to go with no expectations and just hope to like it. Maybe I'll like it more than Batman v Superman.
All right. So, I was going to go straight into the next bit, but I'll talk about, because I kind of want to talk about two anime that I watched recently. I finally got around to watching Blue Exodus, or actually finishing Blue Exodus. Really enjoyed that. Disappointed in season two. It does that like weird thing of a series where it, like, season two is actually like halfway through season one, and it's not actually like a sequel. And I'm like, nope. So I watched season one. I was like, yep, enjoyed that. Cool. That's the end of that series for me. Don't need to watch series two. And then I also finally started watching Overlord, which is a anime where it's that new kind of trope in anime recently where somebody gets sucked into like an MMO and like they become their character in the MMO they're playing. And it's actually a really good one because in this one, it's sort of different. He's the only one who seems like he got sucked into the thing while everything else is just NPC characters and stuff like that. And it's really good. I'm really enjoying it. I tweeted that I liked it, and a whole bunch of people were like, oh man, it's so boring. And I'm like 10 episodes in, and I'm like, where is the chance to be bored? Because it's just like action, 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 action. And I'm like, well, so I'm really enjoying that. We might talk about that down the line. I might use that as an anime to talk about, but I'm really enjoying that. But I think it's time to get onto Yu Hakusho.
Yeah.
Did you want to do a brief like elevator pitch? Like, how would you describe this anime to somebody?
Oh, man. So, teenage punk dies saving... Do I get spoilery at all? How much should I stay away from spoilers?
I looked at every description, and they literally say it's a young boy that dies. So
yeah. Because it's hard to really give a pitch. Basically, this punk... Like, I think punk is, like, very, like, important to, like, his character. Because, like... When you strip everything away from him, he's a punk.
Japanese punk is a better way to describe that. Because like, as soon as you say punk, everyone thinks like Western punk.
That's true.
Know, like British.
That's true.
But it's like, it's Japanese punk.
Yeah. So. And I'll even say very likable Japanese punk dies saving a kid.
Heart of gold.
Yeah. And like, and since the spirit world, he goes to the spirit world. Since people in the spirit world didn't really expect him to die doing that, he doesn't have a place for him, or he doesn't have a place in the spirit realm, in heaven or hell or whatever. And so he becomes a spirit detective. That's pretty much it.
That's a very good description. Yeah. So the main character, oh god, I wrote it down. Yusuke.
Yeah, Yusuke.
Jesus, I nearly
Yusuke Urameshi.
So. I wrote like 100 names down so that all of them hit me at once. It's like, oh, which name was it? Yeah. Yusuke, is a 14-year-old. I don't know if they changed it for the English dub, because usually when they have a young character that does like risque things, they up his age for the English version.
They say he's in middle school.
Because in the sub, it literally says 14. So like the bit we discussed earlier where he lifts up the dress, he's looking at another 14-year-old girl's underwear. So usually they kind of up that. Similar with like Game of Thrones on TV. In the book, a lot of those characters are like 12 and 13 years old. So
interesting.
Could you imagine that on TV? That would be a bit like...
Yeah.
Like Daenerys is like 14, I think, in the book.
Oh man, I haven't watched Game of Thrones, but I know what happens to Game of Thrones, and so I'm like, oh god.
He runs out in front to stop a kid getting hit by a car. He dies. What's her name? Botan.
Yeah, Botan.
Grim Reaper.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Botan. She gives him an offer to like, if he completes these trials, he can become a spirit detective and come back to life. Because as you said, heaven or hell has no place for him because he wasn't supposed to die. Funny thing, like the bit where she starts describing that, like the boy was gonna be all right anyway.
Yeah, I started.
Totally forgot about that.
Same here. I was like, wait. So because they went to the hospital to visit him to see how he's doing, then like Yusuke is like, well, I have no regrets because he looks like he's fine. He only has a few scrapes. And then I was like, wait, what happened? There's a thing that happens in this part. And for some reason, I was thinking that like they were gonna be like, oh, they were gonna diss Yusuke or something in the hospital. That's what I was thinking was gonna happen. That they're gonna be like, oh, he doesn't matter anyway. What ended up happening was like Botan was like, oh yeah, he would have had one less scrape if you didn't save him because the car would have veered out the way. That part's always hilarious.
All right, so we'll get into a bit of like non-spoily. Like, what feelings and like what things did you forget about this first episode that like kind of hit you? Because you said like you've watched the series multiple times and stuff like that, but did you remember a lot of the first episode?
I remember probably most of it, like 80% of it. And like the 20% that I didn't recall, I think is what got to me. Like, you know how you rewatch something and you notice things that you didn't notice before?
Yeah.
Like, I think,
like we just said with the hospital, totally didn't remember about him not even going to be dying.
And like, I watching this episode, I forgot like how sincere a lot of the moments are in this episode. Like when he's dead, right? And he's going in, he's visiting people that knew him in real life. And like, he's a punk kid, right? And you see like the two adults, like I think they're two teachers in a school that are just like bagging on him. And they're just like, they're at his funeral and they're making fun of him. And like, they're talking about how like how much of a jerk he is and all this stuff. And you see the principal, or I'm not sure if it's the principal or the superior of them. And he like puts his hand on their shoulders and he basically like tells them to like back down. And he's basically calling them worthless for talking down around him.
He also says like, because they're bagging out, like, because the bully, the other, like, the rival bully gets pulled out just before that scene. And they start the joke because they're like, oh, look at the raggly people he used to hang out with, blah, blah, blah. And then he says, what is more fucked up? You got his behavior, the bully's behavior, or you guys bagging him out at his own funeral?
Yeah.
And I was just like,
and it's like, dang, dude. Like, and that's I think you tweeted and I responded to your tweet that like, yo, this episode is giving me the feels, man. Cause there's something.
Oh, yeah. I forget every single time. And it's just the one moment, as soon as his mom cries and after like where the other family comes in to like pay their respects, like the child. And I'm just like, no, no mother should have to see their child dead.
And
dear God,
there's something so sincere. Like, I feel like this episode as a thing by itself, like remove it from the whole series, I think is special because it is essentially like it's kind of like the Scrooge thing of like being when Scrooge dies in that Christmas story and he like has to go back and visit all the people that kind of hated him. This is like a similar thing of like Yusuke dies, right? And he's going back to visit all the people and he's like this young punk kid. He reminds me of a lot of the kids I grew up with who were like, who didn't pay attention in class. I didn't pay attention in class or like who like,
but also thought they were useless and nobody believed in them. And like, they had no purpose in life. Cause he literally said like, when she's like, you're dead. He's like, yeah, cool. I don't need to come back to life. Like, what the fuck was I going to achieve?
Yeah. And then like, he's visiting like his funeral and he's seeing his principal actually like care about him. His principal actually be like, this guy, like, you had so much potential, like you could have done something. You see Kuwabara,
I want to praise you for saving this person, but also now you have no chance to amount to anything.
Yeah,
because I knew you were gonna amount to something.
And like, dude, that like touched me, because and I think it touched me specifically because like I work with a lot of youth kids and I work in like a youth group and I do a lot of stuff. I don't work there, but I volunteer in a youth group. And even like back, when I lived in Illinois, like I worked in an elementary school and I do a lot of stuff with kids. Don't take that out of context, people listening. And like I think when you are working with kids or youth like that, you see a lot of potential in them that they don't see in themselves.
Yeah.
And like,
they have the same mentality that he does.
Yeah, exactly. And I think this episode did a good job of watching a kid that was like, that's like a lot of these other kids that we don't really care about or we don't talk about or we don't notice, right? And it's about seeing that kid kind of see honestly how other people feel about him. And, you know, some people do hate him. Like, he's right that like a lot of people will hate him and a lot of people don't like him and a lot of people are scared of him. But also,
he did give them reasons to hate him.
Yeah.
But as much as those two like teachers are dicks, like he did skip a million classes.
Yeah.
He is a delinquent and stuff like that, but he has the potential to be, which like, as you said, like this episode could nearly be like a standalone episode of like just that morale story of, you could like market this one episode as just like, here's a cool story about a kid who thinks he's useless, saves a kid life, and then gets to see how like great the world, like his friends and family and like senpais / mentors above him think, like how they see this glowing spark inside of him and whether like he can see it as well.
Yeah.
So like, even just this first episode by itself is great.
Yeah.
And it also shows like why I love anime so much. Cause like, this is still a show for like older kids / teenagers, and it doesn't treat them like kids as well. The episode, like, it throws a lot of themes at them that's a bit like, full on. Like, he dies. Like, and you see it. It's not just like you, it like the scene cuts away as the car hits him. Like, you see the car hit him and he rolls over the car and he's dead.
Oh, yeah.
He's out.
Yeah.
And then, like, yeah, and then just, like, the brutality of, yeah, the mum crying, the teacher crying.
Like, Kuwabara, it's like, his reaction hit me, too, of, like, who am I going to face now? Like, who's going to be my rival? Who's going to be the person that I'm trying to beat?
Like, you know? As much as they, like, hate each other, they're, like, they have that, like, respect.
Yeah.
Like, I want you as my rival. Like, you are the only person who deserves to fight me.
Yeah.
In that way. You're the only one deserving of my tension.
Yeah. And even, like Keiko, I think that's her name, was, like, even there. Like, man, Keiko, the girl who, like you know, this great girl from school that you think you're never going to be good enough for. And, like, you see her, and she's torn up about it, too, even though, like, all the other girls don't care about it. And it's like, man, like, you do not realize how many people care about you until you're, and this sounds very dark, and if you're dealing with stuff, like, find some help and all that stuff, like, but, like, a lot of times you don't realize how many people care about you until, like, it's too late. But,
yeah, that's the thing. Yeah. Like, this is a good thing to show somebody, like, there is a lot of people, like, don't think, like, you being out of this world is, like, gonna be good for the world. Man, like, everyone, like, whether they want to tell you or not, like, a lot of people care about you and stuff like that.
Yeah.
God. It's very, man, this first episode.
It's very telling that, like, his reaction to being dead is like, all right. Like, he's 14 years old or whatever, and he's just like, he's accepted it, right? Which I think tells a lot about how he thinks about himself. And I might be getting a little bit too deep into it, but, like
no,
I think...
No, that's the whole point. Yeah. Like, why I love anime, like, they can do these things that, like, if you did these in a TV show, people would be like a live action TV show, like in a Western TV show, people would be like we're getting there now. Like, we have things like, what was the one on Netflix about the suicide? Oh, what was it? 13 Reasons.
Oh, yeah, 13 Reasons Why, yeah.
Like, yeah, like something like that. It's a different concept, but still just like showing those like very deep topics to a younger audience.
Yeah.
Because, like, adults are always a bit, especially, yeah, Western, like, adults are a lot cautious about, like, keeping kids, and, like, but yet, kids are still gonna go through these emotions, even though they are kids, and that's, now I'm getting too deep.
Yeah, like, I'm gonna push it deeper. Like, the amount of, like, youth kids, youth in general that are, like, depressed or suicidal or, like, not in that right space, like, the amount is very large. Like, I don't think we realize it, especially kids and people listening. If you're not familiar with me, I'm a black dude, right? My name is Blessing Adeoye. Adeoye is a Nigerian name, and a lot of black kids, like a lot of black youth, you know, they go through this type of thing, right? A lot of black youth are just like Yusuke, which I think is another reason why I really like Yu Hakusho. I see it, and like it. The same thing that's happening in Yusuke, or the same things that happens with Yusuke, is happening in a lot of like communities and I've said this before, but man, this show does a really great job of like representing people who are not often represented, especially kids, representing youth that are not often represented in media like this. I think that's just really cool to me.
I want to side tangent off just for a second, just because you brought that up, but like black culture. Did you see the most? I don't know who did the article. I think it was Kotaku, I'm going to say.
Mm-hmm.
They did an article of, like, why a lot of black kids like Dragon Ball Z.
Interesting. I missed that. And I'm curious about that, because a lot of black kids do.
Yeah. I'm not a big... I didn't read it because, like, I'm white and I didn't care about it. It's just I'm not a written guy usually. I don't read a lot of written articles.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I saw, like, a whole bunch of people shared it. And, like, they were like, yep. I agree with all this, and I'm like, oh, okay.
I might be able to guess, but I'm not sure. Like, I'm assuming like a lot of black kids identify with like, I don't know. I don't. There's something there.
Yeah.
But I gotta read. I gotta read it because I'm not sure exactly what it is.
All right. Off the deeper side of you, Hakusho. Is there anything like that appeal to you, like the art style? Like, I want to say like, I know it's probably been up-res to 1080 at the moment, but man, it still looks beautiful.
Oh,
it
has
aged well.
Yeah, when I watched it, it was not 1080p. I watched it, like, probably the original resolution. And yeah, that show looks great. Like, it is way ahead of its time. The music is awesome. Like, and I can probably, like, play the melody in my head of the music comes on when something sad is happening. so good. It hits perfectly every single time. The instruments are great. The theme song is great. The character designs, I love them so much. Like, because especially because you can identify each character kind of with a color, right? Like Yusuke is green. Yep. Kuwabara is green. Blue. Hiei is like black, I think. And yeah, like all the character designs. Are we talking about just the first episode, or can we go beyond the first episode?
We'll wait for a bit.
Okay.
We'll get to spoilers after the break.
Gotcha.
But yeah. Don't go too deep.
Yeah. And so, yeah.
Because I was going to make non-spoilers for the first episode, and we've just gone, like, straight through the finish line for that one. So, it's all right.
But, yeah, like, I absolutely love the design of the show.
Yeah. I think that's it. Yeah. Because we want to get too spoilery. So, I'm gonna break it here. We'll go next. I'll tell next week. We are going to, before we go over the break, we are going to do Mob Psycho 100. I'm trying to bring in Moises. We'll see how that kid goes, because he was all excited about it, and then I haven't heard a word since he said, yeah, I'll come on. So next week, it's going to be Mob Psycho, and after the break, we'll get on to some spoilers. We're gonna go past episode one now for this tournament arc. We're gonna go whole series. So if you don't want to hear the whole series spoilers, this is your good drop-off point. Come back later, or keep listening. We'll be right after the break.
Hey there, listener. Thank you so much for checking out A-Plus Anime. If you like the show, there are more like it on OKBeast.com. You should check out the OKBeast podcast, where Ian and Blessing talk video games and more. Also, check out the OKBeast YouTube channel for all the nerdy content that your heart can possibly take. Thank you for listening.
Hello and welcome back. We are getting into some deep, deep spoilers. All right, Blessing. Hit me with just your own. I want to hear all about everything about Yu Yu Hakusho.
Man.
Why, what series, like, arcs you liked, characters you loved.
Man, I know people, and the fan favorite as far as, like, the arcs in Yu Yu Hakusho, like, it probably goes to the Toguro brothers, like, that dark tournament. Amazing. Fantastic. Phenomenal. Yep. Iconic.
So what is it about is it just the plot that's going on, the characters?
It is, man, it is just the fact that it drags in the best way possible, because, like, it's a tournament, right? And so you're getting characters fighting a bunch of different characters. It's like basically what you want from an anime like this. You're getting all the characters, all your favorite characters fighting against, like, these awesome, awesome new characters. And every single character they introduce in that tournament, it's just awesome. It's just amazing. Like beautifully designed. And it's just the fact that there's this build up emotionally and narratively. Man, it's hard for me to spoil it, because, like, a lot of it is escaping my head right now, like all the intricacies. Yeah. But, like, there's the old lady that trains Yusuke, the short one whose name I can't remember. She also, like, trained Toguro, like the big Toguro brother, who is kind of like the main antagonist of the season. And it's this thing of, like, you know how in every anime, the villain is always the strongest person alive. Every season, somehow, there's always a new person that's always the strongest person alive.
Yeah, like Dragon Ball Z, it's like, oh, he's the strongest person on the planet. Now he's the strongest person in this section of the galaxy.
Yeah.
Now he's greatest in the galaxy. Oh, he's the greatest of all the realities.
Yeah, and they're always trying to, next season is always somebody stronger. But yeah, like, like Toguro, he was just dope from the fact that, like, he looked strong. Like, you see this dude and you're like, oh no, this guy's a big dude. Like, he had muscles. He looked like a normal human dude, but a very, very buff normal human dude.
Yes.
And he was, like, just very menacing.
The tournament arc is such a weird, like, just in general. That's why, like, I wanted to do season 3, like, a tournament arc kind of, like, style. Because, like, the tournament arc, like, you think, as an anime, like, anyone who's into anime, like, tournament arc is, like, yeah, easy tournament arc. But it's, like, it's a thing that doesn't really, like, translate over to Western things. Like,
yeah.
You never see in TV shows or cartoons a tournament arc.
Yeah, like
fight. Like, you always see, like, the fight of, like, oh, Batman would beat Superman, or this person would beat this person in, like, Western cult, like, pop culture. But, like,
Yeah.
Japanese culture's like, yeah, we'll do it. Like, yeah, let's figure it out.
You know, let's write this out. Like, you never see, like, in Fresh Prince, like, Will Smith never fought Uncle Phil. Like, it never happened like that. You know? Like, Carlton never, like, squared up against Hillary Banks or whatever. Like,
but, like, even in, like, the most non-fighting, like, anime, they'll still find a way to do, like, a tournament against each other. Whether it's a cooking tournament or a rap battle.
Like, Pokemon.
Tournament,
or, like, even, like, Yu-Gi-Oh! Like, there's a tournament every season. Like, it's awesome. And yeah, this tournament was just, and also this show had two different tournament arcs. Now that I'm thinking about it, like, Jesus. But yeah, like the thing about the second season is just that I think there was something, I think one, it was the fact that it lasted forever and it was all amazing. Yeah. I think, and then there's just like this buildup of, I think Toguro was the first villain in the show that was like, this guy is unstoppable. This guy is unbeatable. This guy's gonna like devastate Yusuke. He was like the first one in the show that was bigger than life. In the build up towards him, the build up of like, oh, he was trained by my master, and like he at this point he just beats everybody. That was really cool. And yeah, I wish I could think of some examples of the other like people they introduced in the tournament, like the other fighters, because I feel like if I can't remember them, but the ones I remember being super impressed by each of them. Yeah, that arc was just really special. Oops. And the thing is, the funny thing is, like, that arc isn't even my favorite arc in the show. Or Toguro isn't even my favorite villain. That goes to Sensui, for sure, in season 3.
Yeah.
So, like, Sensui was the spirit detective before, or one of the spirit detectives before Yusuke, right? Yeah. And, like, he has, man, I don't know how to approach explain this because it's been so long and it's multi-layered. He has, like, a crew with him, right? He has, like, this spirit sniper. He has some other people. But his deal, and you don't find this until the end. And if you don't know this, I recommend like maybe watching it and then coming back or something. He has this arc to where he has seven different personalities. Like he has a personality disorder, like one of those personalities is gay and is in love with one of his like people. And like that whole ordeal was just crazy to me, finding out like the different layers to this guy.
Because like, what like age were you when you saw this part? Like, as I know, you
I was
said
grown.
You've only watched. Oh, you're grown. All right. Yeah. So, but was this kind of your like first experience with that kind of firstly the mental disorder side of it, and then even like a gay character falling in love with one of his characters in the series?
If I watched it at the time, it would have been 100%. And even I, as a grown person, I think I was still shocked that like, wow, they went there. Like they, like I felt like they were talking about mental disorder in a pretty honest way. Like in a way that like, yeah, it's still cartoonized. Like I don't know people who
it's still anime.
Yeah, it's still anime. Like I don't know people who like have whatever like multiple personality disorder kind of thing. I don't know if it happens exactly like this, but the fact that they're showing it and the fact that like the fact that it's sincere, like it's not, they're not making fun of it. Like this is a true part of his personality that like. They're not doing it for laughs. They're not doing it for like, oh, haha. Like, this is part of his actual personality. And it is like, the way they depict it is one, like, you feel for him a little bit. You're like, oh, man, he's going through some things. But then also, you're like, this guy's terrifying. Because he goes from like this calm demeanor to like, hey, I'm in love with this dude, to hey, like, oh, now I'm like, I'm a psychopath that's gonna murder you. Like, he shifts through all those things. And the way they cycle it is so good. They build him up to be so powerful, but even though he's like this villain who's like super powerful, he still has that side to him that's like very like, hey, like I'm a very soft person. I like have like these characters.
Yeah, he has a lot of depth.
Yeah, like a lot of depth.
Seven versions of depth.
Yeah, and that's why I love the fact that that fight with him lasted for like forever, quite a few episodes, and yeah, like his that character is just so cool. I remember he also did have that one other henchman that was like a kid that was into video games. And that one was pretty fun. But yeah, that arc to me was just so good, for a lot of reasons, but I'll just leave it at that. Cause I'll just start rambling if you let me. So
no, that's good. Any other characters like affected you, like personally, you like related to any characters through the series? Like, were you related to Yusuke or anything like that? Or did you feel for like relate with another character through the series?
Mm-hmm.
Anything else touch you personally?
I think Yusuke for sure is very, very relatable just for the fact that like he is far from perfect. Like he's just this dude that's like, I kind of want to be the best, and I kind of want to just do whatever I want. And I feel like that's kind of what a lot of people are, especially a lot of us watching. Like, there's him. Hiei was really cool to me. I think all the characters that are like Hiei, I guess Hiei is almost like a Vegeta equivalent in the show. Like, his type of character I always usually identify with. I don't know why. I don't know if I just see myself as, like, partly evil but partly good. I don't know what it is about that, but Hiei I thought was really cool. The other character, I can't remember his name. He had, like, the pink hair, the red hair, like, the pink outfit. Had the vine whip thing as, like, a weapon.
Oh, yeah. God. You remember more of this stuff than I did. The last time I think I watched the whole series, I was about 15, I think.
Oh, God. So,
me coming back to this is just like, the only time I remember things is when you brought them up. When you're like, the Dark Arc, I'm like, oh, the Duck Tournament Arc. I'm like, and then you like mentioned that character. I was like, oh, that's right.
Yeah.
And I was like, so like, this is like a real like flashback to me. So I'm, yeah, like I wish I could talk more about the series, but man, I hardly remember any of it. I do remember like the feeling of coming through of like, it always felt like a more refined Dragon Ball Z to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. Dragon Ball Z always was my first, like, thing when I was a kid. But as I got older, I could see the more and more flaws in, like, Dragon Ball Z, where it's, like, not that deep.
Mm-hmm.
I've had a lot of fights with people on Twitter where they're like, oh, what about the redemption of Vegeta and stuff. I'm like, I still don't feel that. I feel like he just turns good rather than, like, has an arc where he becomes good.
Yeah, really. He's, like, good all of a sudden, and we just accept it. But the dude I was thinking about was Kurama.
Yes.
And like, he had such a chill nature to him and such a, like, a laid back nature to him. And a lot of the thing I like about the show is that pretty much most of the characters just have a chill, laid back nature to them. Like, the only ones that are really like bullish and like are pretty like outgoing are, I guess, the humans, like Yusuke and Kuwabara. Kuwabara is also a great, great character. All the characters are great, great characters in the show. But yeah, like, the whole mood of the show is just so, like, chill. And this goes with the music. This goes with the animation style. This goes with the villains and the everything that's kind of brought up. It's kind of like, anime is so over the top in the sense that, like, and I think the characters in the world understand the over the top nature of, like, their circumstances. Of, like,
yes,
everybody's so powerful, and this person is this powerful, and this person is this powerful. And we all kind of get it, and we're all pretty chilled about it. And, like, if we fight, we fight. And what happens, happens. And they're all pretty accepting of their situations and what they kind of have to do. And I think Kuwabara and Yusuke kind of play the role of us, the viewer, of like being outsiders to this kind of world that they're kind of discovering. And like, that's why they're kind of like, oh, what's happening? Oh, well, here's this guy. Oh, I can beat him up. And then they get beat up or whatever. And then like, since they're foreign, we're foreign, and they interact with the world the way we would interact with the world that they're discovering. But everybody else in that world is kind of like, it's whatever, man. We just fight sometimes.
Yeah.
And people get blasted away, and this guy kills everybody for some reason. So yeah, I really like that about the show.
Yeah. All right. We'll start summoning up there. So like, how would you rate this show? And like, how would you like? What would you say to a person, like, what would they like that they would like this?
Well, if they like this, what else would they like? No, the other way around. Okay.
Like, so, like, if somebody's coming through this section and they didn't care about spoilers and stuff like that, like, I should have done it early in the show, but I forgot. But, like, yeah, what TV show, like, what, especially if they're new to anime in general, like, what Western-style show, is there anything similar that you can kind of say, like, or even just how, like, the tone of it works?
Yeah.
Not even something that's just, like, similar, just, like, with Death Note, like, that's very similar to Breaking Bad. It has nothing similar apart from, like, a main character that starts to become evil, but, like, those two are very the comparison that people use. Is there anything Western that you would kind of?
Man, I also think like as far as like anime, like if you like Dragon Ball Z, I think for sure you probably like Yu Yu Hakusho.
Yeah.
Especially if you like older anime in general, I think you would love Yu Yu Hakusho. Especially if you love stuff from the 90s, I think you would love Yu Yu Hakusho. As far as like Western shows, man, I don't know. 13 Reasons Why came to mind, but I think that's because you mentioned it earlier. I think that has to do with, like, the young aspect of it, of, like, understanding what kids or youth are going through. and understanding them, coming to terms with that. Man, aside from that, I don't really know. But you are Dragon Ball Z for sure. Older anime for sure. I assume like Cowboy Bebop. I didn't watch Cowboy Bebop much as a kid. But if you like that, I would assume that you probably like Yu Yu Hakusho. I just think everybody would love Yu Yu Hakusho, to be honest.
Yeah.
The answer is everybody. So everything. If you like TV.
Yeah, so what? This is the point where we usually rate it. So this is probably going to be, I'm going to guess, A plus or an S for you. Like,
oh, can I rate it an S?
S is like we give like a special. Like we gave it to like Cowboy Bebop and I think like one other anime and stuff like that. But this is definitely an S for you, is it?
I mean, probably like,
or has it got its flaws that it's enough that you would just say an A plus?
I think it does. Okay, I'm gonna say A plus actually, because I think it does have. Yep. I think the flaws with it is it suffers from the same flaws like I think every anime does, or every anime of this type does, where we mentioned it before.
Drags a bit.
Towards the end it drags. Like the last couple seasons, I think it drags, and then also like it's always like, hey, here's a stronger villain. Oh, you killed him. Okay, here's the next strong guy who's the strongest guy in the universe. Oh, you killed him. Okay, here's another. And they're always introducing a new strongest guy in the universe who's stronger than the guy before, who's gonna murder Yusuke. And then like they do the Dragon Ball Z thing of like they give him like kind of his Super Saiyan form, which is like this like spirit kind of like he kind of grows a. I think he grows a tail, or no, man, I need to watch that last season again because that last season was crazy. Because he meets like the spirit version of himself. Or like it's like the alternate version where it's like he's like a king.
Even remember that?
He's like a king of the spirit world or something crazy like that. I can't remember it, but like Yusuke basically kind of turns into this guy when he goes into like his Super Saiyan mode. It's crazy, but also it's very convoluted and it's very hard to understand. And I think that's probably like the one thing I would take away from it. But yeah, A plus for sure. It's an A plus anime.
Yeah. All right. Well, I will rate the first episode because I haven't got as much. God, I really have struggling even more than you trying to remember the rest of the series. But it is real. Like off the top of my head, I would definitely give the series an A. But this first episode, though, I'd definitely give like nearly an S. Mm-hmm. Just because like the way we talked about it, how you could nearly. A lot of the times when I say it's an S episode, you could take that episode out just by itself and have it as a one-off 30-minute show. And that was it.
Yeah.
And it would still work perfectly.
Yeah.
Maybe just the end bit where they fly off to go get his powers and stuff like that. But if you could even cut that last bit off where he like figures out like he does want to come back to life and then just go cut.
Yeah.
Cut scene.
And you can just like take that and it's his own thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's great. It's just, dude. It explores it. We said it many times during this episode. It 100% shows the reason why I love anime where they don't treat their audience as dumb or not dumb, but like too young to understand. Like they're throwing these themes at him, and not in a way that like, oh, we're gonna explain it too much or too little. It's like, here's the theme, you understand, we understand now, like this is how everyone deals with this topic and stuff like that. It's a great first episode. The animation holds up. I know it's been a bit up-resed from 1080p, but it's still the original art and stuff like that. The fight scene, I think the first time he fights with Kurohara is like still awesome. I super enjoyed that where he, like the brawl in the alley. Yeah, it's great. You said, the music's still great. It gives the atmosphere each scene needs.
And I wasn't joking when I said like I almost came to tears at work while watching the episode. Like I was on YouTube at work listening to the episode / watching it, and like the super sincere moments of the episode are actually like very super sincere. Like they don't come off as like show offy or cheesy.
Even yeah, cheesy. They like, don't even come off at cheesy whatsoever. Yeah, they're really, really sincere. That is a perfect way. Sincere. Like they're not babyizing it. They're not
trying to make a point.
They're not just doing it
like,
for views.
Yeah,
yeah. They're just like, look, it's messed up. People dying. People love you. You don't need to like. You don't need to kill yourself, or you don't need to stay dead. Like you can come back. And the series, yeah. As I said, a series is great. It has amazing arcs. I love the action. The tournament arcs are just always my favorite. That's why I wanted a tournament arc season. And yeah, so I think we'll leave it there though. I have been Nathan. You can always catch me at NatoJ18. You can always catch me here on A Plus Anime. You can catch me over on 4Yanks1Aussie, the cross-continental podcast. Blessing, where can I always find you and your stuff?
Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at Blessing Jr. That's Blessing JR. And you can always find me on OKBeast.com. I do the OKBeast podcast. I host that with Ian Prichelle of this show. And you can also find me on YouTube.com/OKBeast, where about every 3 weeks I upload a video essay. And every week we have a video essay by a different person. And if you're unfamiliar with video essays, I'd heavily recommend that you check it out because they're my favorite types of content to watch on the internet. And so, yeah, check out YouTube.com/OKBeast and OKBeast.com.
Any spoilers on maybe what your next topic might, just a hint of what your next topic might be?
I actually have my video. So my next video, or man, by the time you listen to this, it might already be out. But the video.
Oh, it will actually, because this comes out next week.
Next week. And so I think it's coming out maybe at the same time as this episode then. But yeah, it's all about fantasy and video games. And actually, it's not written by me. It's written by Moises Tavares, and I do the video for it. So it's about the evolution of fantasy and games, and it's going to be very different from the other videos I've done because I'm trying out a different kind of editing style. And so if you're interested in that, check it out, youtube.com/OKBeast.
Cool. Any feedback, and also always remember, any feedback, you can go to OKBeast now on Twitter with the hashtag A+Anime, or you can email Ian at OKBeast.com. And of course, if you have a minute, leave us a review on iTunes because it helps other people find us, find OKBeast, and also find great anime. This has been A+Anime. I am Nato. This is my great guest for this evening, Blessing. Adioye.
Yeah.
I just like being the only white boy that can say it properly. So, you know. And thanks for listening. Love each other and watch some anime. Bye.
PUBG shouldn't be game of the year.
Next time on A+Anime, Nato continues to be Australian. And Ian realizes he loves sports anime a little too much. What anime will they review next? Find out next time on A+Anime.